USA, USA. Down with USA, USA. Down with USA, USA. Down with USA, USA. Down with USA, USA.
Down with USA. Let me just say, the Middle is promising to destroy Israel, promising to destroy Trump. All this death to America, five-day funeral for the Ayatollah. I understand they're pissed, but that rhetoric does not help us in this war. And then you've got Hinkle up there while they're all death to America doing all of this. And like you said, if he's not some deep cover CIA operative trying to infiltrate, because he gets into the highest levels of government, then I mean, I don't know what Hinkle's deal is. Because, I mean, you can say what you want about Russia. Putin is popular there. He is winning elections by 80-plus percent. But Venezuela is a dictatorship. He's down there getting awards from him. I'm sure they're giving him money or something if he's not. But, I mean, I got to tell you, I've met him a couple times. My gut says he's like deep cover CIA or something. I mean, what do you think of Hinkle? What do you think his MO is? Because this is pretty destructive stuff he's doing to his future.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I've thought the same thing. You know, on the one hand, you could say this is an American guy who's betraying his country by going to all of our enemies and basically being a propaganda tool for them. On the other hand, you could see that the CIA would consider that a very valuable kind of a person because he is gaining access, perhaps under the pretext that he's some kind of turncoat against the United States. That being said, I have, like you, met him before and I've talked with him in the past. And what is interesting about him is I remember one time he told me that he was in some sort of business deal with Sergei Lavrov. He was put onto some company by Russia's foreign minister. He was dating, I think, Miss Moscow and one of the Russian beauty pageants. And so it really could go either way. I mean, I guess a double agent, you wouldn't necessarily know. Double agent would give the appearance, would give every appearance of being some kind of Russian loyalist or seeking asylum with Russia, but you know, secretly being an agent. If we knew that, Russia would certainly be onto that. So
yeah, and from what I've seen, he's been kicked out of that inner circle in Russia to a certain extent. I mean, he can come on and defend himself if he wants, but I mean, I know this. Lee Harvey Oswald was at the super secret U-2 spy plane base in Japan. It was partially declassified. He was ordered to defect. Then, after years in Russia, he comes back with his Russian bride and lives with the head of the White Russian Society, known CIA commander. So Oswald lived with the famous leader of the U.S. White Russians, the czarist. And, I mean, so that's a fact that he—so they did that all the time. And if I had to make a bet, I'm not saying it's the fact, but if I had to make a bet, you know, in craps or the roulette wheel, I would say Hinkle is a serious CIA operative.
I could see that. Yeah. At the same time, though, he doesn't seem all that smart. He doesn't seem very intelligent. I feel like CIA agents are supposed to be pretty clever and kind of know what they're talking about. He doesn't seem to really know his stuff. So based on that alone, I would probably bet the other way. But it's funny, even in that clip, it doesn't really sound like his heart is in it. He's not screaming.
Well, see,
you know,
that's
those
why.
People
see,
out there,
see, I've had conversations where I think he acts dumb. But then I knew how to trick him with questions. And I was, he I think it's, you're smart, Nick. I think if you really... Well, we should have, when Hinkle, I guess he'll never come back, but I don't know. Hinkle, I'm going to interrogate you.
We had a falling out over Oliver Anthony. Him and I used to be friends, and then I didn't like the Oliver Anthony song, the Rich Men North of Richmond, and he hated that I didn't like that song. That's why we had a major falling out, believe it or not. People say all the time, I don't get along with people, and it's always stupid stuff like that. He said, you criticize Oliver Anthony, you hate the working class. He wanted nothing to do with me. But
you
yeah,
love
I mean,
the working class when you
dumb.
Tell people not to be a victim. Yeah, it's an uphill battle, but you're telling the working class, get in there, fight harder. That's absolutely true.
Well, exactly. And it figures a communist would sympathize with that because the whole communist ideology is it's the distribution of wealth, which has been misallocated. I say wealth isn't distributed. Wealth is created. Go out there, start a business, be an entrepreneur, invent something. So, yeah, I totally agree. But that's the difference. He identifies as an ideological communist or socialist. You and I are capitalists. So that's maybe the disagreement.
You did a rant 2 weeks ago that I aired, and I'd love to get your 2.0 on that. When we come back and then we get into Iran proper. And the midterms, the disaster of the economy that you predicted. But we should get those clips of you like 3 years ago. You started saying Trump's going to get in probably, and then he's going to go to war, and it's going to derail everything, and they're going to lose the midterms. I mean, talk about prescient. But I want you to talk about not giving up, because that is so important. Back in 60 seconds with Nick Fuentes.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, I've been interviewing Nick Fuentes, I don't know, 10 years or something. And I always thought he was smart and, you know, eloquent, and I thought he was coming from a good place. And sometimes he said, I, you know, disagreed with, but I understand he's trying to move the Overton window and not be sheepish in the face of leftist attacks. People need to get confident and break out of the control. But I said a few years ago, I said, as he gets older, he's only like 28 or whatever, he's getting better and better and better and already smarter and more knowledgeable about a wide spectrum of stuff than, you know, he could sit there and debate Dinesh D'Souza and top neocons and just wipes the floor with them because he just has a really sharp brain. And the trajectory he's on is just amazing. But notice now, Nick Fuentes in The Awakening is really the mainstream. I talk to Americans on the street, family, other talk show hosts. They get upset that we're not radical enough. Because people that aren't really sophisticated yet don't understand what can actually be done, or second, third order events would happen if they, you know, did what they think needs to be done. That in many cases is simple minded. So, but Nick, you've been through the ringer, and you're not a victim, but you've gone through challenges. But just like hiking or marathon or lifting weights, or you know, playing the guitar, everything has to be a lot of time spent, a lot of training, passion, desire. And you did a rant, and then we'll get into Iran, all the developments there, and midterms, the rest of it, and the time we have left in this hour. You did a really powerful rant about never giving up and not being a victim and just putting one foot in front of the other. And I've noticed that when I've been down and exhausted, when I keep fighting, that's when the biggest breakthroughs happen. And then I level up and get super energized because I realize laying down is not what we're designed to do. It is the process. It is the journey that is the destination. So spend a few minutes here. I mean, I know you're a little more reserved when you're in an interview, but if you want to flip the switch, kind of repeat what you said or update it, because that's my message as well. People ask how I can put up with all this. It's actually the opposite. The vicious attacks, the stalking, the stuff I don't even get into, the unbelievable stuff to my family, which only made us closer, that gives me energy. That pisses me off. And I don't fight the tyrants because I hate them. I do hate them. But it's because I love the good people, and I know that I've got to defeat these lesser men and women who hate me because they recognize I am superior to them in intellect, will. And that's why they don't like you either, because you're obviously a superb person. And that's just true. And we need to learn to recognize our superb people when it comes to humanity. And that is what meritocracy is about. And obviously, out of the whole field out there, no one even comes close to your gravitas at 28 years old. And I'm not kissing your ass. I'm stating what the bad guys already know. But the bad guys ought to be glad that you are a good person and that you really are trying to empower everybody and have a good future for everyone and not just have some battle of the races at some primitive, mindless level as some of the deranged right wing and left wing and Islam and the Israel firsters want to have. You are transcending all of that and helping others transcend it, and that's my message as well. So speak to never giving up.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and I don't know if I could summon the energy that I had on that show. I'll try to as best as I can. In that monologue, I was really talking about personal development, but something that I like to talk about on the show a lot, and even when I give speeches in person, is I like to say that the personal and the political are one, which is to say that a lot of people think in terms of, they say things like, are we too far gone? Is it too late? What can we do? What's the plan? How are we going to save our country? Is it going to be civil war? Is it going to be some kind of separatist movement, balkanization? What is it actually going to look like? And I know it's very trite and I know it's very basic, but the revolution is something that happens in the interior. It's in the interior life. Which is to say that when you look at, for example, the founding fathers, just 4th of July this weekend, the people that built this country were the most remarkable men of their time, maybe the most remarkable group of men in all of time, or certainly I think they rank among the greatest groups of men in all of history. They were some of the richest, the most successful, some of the wisest, most brilliant, most learned, most well-read people. In a word, they embodied American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism for them wasn't a policy. It wasn't an end condition for the country. It wasn't a question of whether we're going to make it or not. It was actually a question of personal character. It was a question of personal virtue. And so when we talk about what's going to happen with the country, I think it starts with a conversation about what we're going to become ourselves. What are we going to make out of ourselves? And so when I really get fired up, when I talk about these things, it's about the individuals that are a part of this movement. And you see that a lot of people are really discouraged and disillusioned and depressed, and we're all sort of weighed down by the conditions of our time. What I like to tell people is that the country's not over. It's not over for you as an individual. It's not over for any of us unless we literally die or we give up. All anybody could do on any given day is just show up to the battlefield. That's the bare minimum, what's expected of everybody. The outcome is determined by God. God controls the world. We are not asked necessarily to understand the plan. We're not asked necessarily to win the battle every single day, have all the answers. What we're asked is every day that we're above the ground is to show up on the battlefield and try, whatever that is. And, you know, to your point, you said there's a lot of people that are even becoming more radical than us, this kind of burn it all down, people that seek violence, destruction, people that want to do impulsive things. That's not the answer either. So I think that really when it comes down to how we're going to save the country, it's about the real sacrifice, the real battle. It's actually the monotonous, sometimes heartbreaking, unrecognized, grueling work of building something, whether that's politically, economically, in terms of personal development. I tell my followers on the show, there was just that big rally in Washington, D.C., and you have all these young guys from Patriot Front. They go out, they march around in this big demonstration. I say, don't go and chase the glory. of something like that. Don't go and chase the glory and the recognition of being a part of some kind of large public spectacle, uniform, costume march, waving a flag. I said the price that we're going to pay, the toll and the sacrifice that we make, is actually doing the unglamorous, unrecognized, not sexy work of joining your college Republicans, of going to law school, of maybe going to Silicon Valley and becoming a founder, doing something, in other words, that's hard and boring, but over a long period of time that is ultimately going to result in people like us, with our values, with our religion, our worldview, becoming the best in our field, becoming the most competent, having the most resources, and ultimately being the people that can guide the course of history.
And by the way, you do an excellent job, because that's how you came up, and then they tried to hire you, the Israel lobby, and then fired you when you wouldn't be their servant and go to Israel. People don't know, just since the 60s, the neocons, literally the Trotskyites, were able to come in and take over the Republican Party through the colleges, through the publishing houses, and then they sent everybody out into the media, into big tech, and that's how they got the control, and that is what we can do, and that's what the left has done, but as populist Christian conservatives, we just sit there and never burrow into the system. We have to do what the communists have done. We have to go in there and work hard and then take over the system, and some of us are sleeper cells nonviolently. Others, you can let them know some of who you are. But the point is, they're all making these movies how there's all these secret underground white supremacists in one battle after another. That isn't out there. This isn't underground white supremacists. This is underground pro-Western, pro-freedom individuals. Some will choose to be vocal. Some will choose to be tip of the spear, like Nick, which is a very dangerous thing. And others will just burrow in. And that's what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, exactly right. And I'm speaking specifically to the elite human capital. I'm speaking to the best and brightest, the people with the most talent, the most capabilities. I really believe those are the people actually that are going to change the world. A lot of people, when they think about and maybe this is not the most optimistic or universal message for everybody, but people think about in terms of how we're going to save the country, they think about an election. They think about, who can we elect for president? Who's going to get 50% of all the votes? And I think we don't need to win necessarily 50% of the people to our ideology. We don't need to target a massive group of people, all ages, all sexes, all races. What I'm focused on is the young men. Pause. I'm focused on the best and brightest young men, because those are the people actually that are the ones that end up changing the world. It's not, sad to say, the boomers, who in many cases are set in their ways, and they already have their beliefs. They're basically crystallized. Their brain doesn't really develop the same way. It's not even some of the older people have their same attitudes, and they're in a stable situation. They got a wife and kids. They can't do much. When you look at the founding fathers, they were all people in their teens, 20-somethings, early 30s. These were all adventurous, brilliant young men that had the willingness and the ability basically to put it all on the line for their ideals. They were idealists. And so that's really who I'm focused on. And I think that's why they consider me maybe disproportionately to be a bigger threat. Even though I'm not necessarily the most mainstream figure or have necessarily the biggest audience, the audience that I do reach are those brilliant young men in the most elite universities, the ones that are really going to go the distance and be those decision makers, tastemakers, influencers. Go ahead.
I want to explain how dead on you are and how you harp on this. And by the way, you are one of the most popular talk shows. You're out there with Tucker and Candace and everybody, especially when it comes to the clips. Let's just be clear. You're at the top, very top tier. And I'm kissing your ass with stating facts here. Now, to explain what you're saying here is the Muslims are on average 7-8%, and in Europe and in North America, and they're expanding as the birth rate and recruitment in prisons and the rest of it, and right in the schools because they're willing to proselytize. And they talk about in elections, it's only 5-10% that can swing anything. So if we get the disadvantaged males and white's the most targeted group, but people in general that want to join the West and, support it, if we get them to understand that issue and how they can do that with the law degrees and with getting into publishing and going and being in the school newspaper, the college paper, that's how the system gets its people. Then you learn how the sausage is made from the ground up, That's a real education. The colleges, unless it's engineering or medical, are worthless degrees now, but not for the networking and not for being into the power structure. And you can choose whether you want to be a sleeper agent or, you know, quasi, or you want to be a barn burner when you're in there and stir stuff up and create big movements and energize and get others. But we can all do our part like the left does, covering every base there where it looks like there's a choice, but there's not. And what you're talking about is real sophistication, not deception, but those are paths for people, you know, that are highly intelligent and understand, who really want to get it done. And not some, you know, instant, everybody wants to be Nick Fuentes, dress like you, act like you. And you were honest with him. You said, some of you may have that skill, but not many. You're going to go into a dead end trying that, shooting for the Michael Jordan position. Whereas there's the position of the team manager. There's the position of the coaches, assistant coaches. There's the, you know, position of the people that supply, you know, the food and drinks at the basketball game. There's all these winning positions that people need to think about, and it's covering those positions. Something like 47% of local elections nationwide run unopposed. And, well, that's because, you know, maybe on the county commission or the water commission, you know, you only get $10,000 a year, and you're not going there to rob. So what? You're doing it there so that you can learn the system and battle tyranny and be a servant and then do a good job and move up. So I didn't get big and super successful, and I've been on here 32 years, really, for the first five. That was still a fast trajectory. You instant success, but still gradual compared to now. So people need to understand, Rome wasn't built in a day, and that's what you're saying. And you're bringing up an area that is a real chink in the dragon's armor. Continue.
Well, right. And, you know, the message is not necessarily for a general audience, because we live in this, like, democratic capitalist society. And I'm not just throwing those out as buzzwords. We think about capitalism, we think in terms of, we want it to appeal to as many consumers as possible. If I'm selling a product, I want every kind of person to want to buy it. The young and the old, the black and the white, the men and the women. And the same goes for politics. If I'm running for election in a democracy, I have to win all the voters, all the different demographics, all the different coveted cross tabs on the exit polls. I want to get all of them. I'm saying my message is not actually for women. My message is not for older people. My message is not even necessarily for people that, you know, let's say are foreigners or second gen or something like that. My message is tailored for a specific kind of person, and telling those people, accumulate as much power as possible. That's the goal. We want the best and brightest, brilliant young men who have our values to accumulate as much power as possible and really aim for position, aim for resources. Because you bring up the example of the left, that's a really good example. The other great example is what the Zionists did, which is to say that these people came here, they acted as one, they acted as one unit, they rose through the ranks, became lawyers, scientists, businessmen, entertainers, all these different kinds of things. I think about what Mark Levin said at the Republican Jewish Coalition last year after Tucker Carlson interviewed me. He did a response to this traumatic event in the Jewish community. And he said to the Republican Jewish Coalition, he said, we are going to use our positions and our resources and our influence to make a decision about who will be elected in 2028. And you think about that kind of corporate mentality. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Republican Jewish Coalition. He's speaking as we, the Jews. We're going to use our positions as judges, as lawyers, as billionaires and businessmen, as entertainers and actors. We are going to collectively use our different positions, all the things we can contribute in our respective fields. We're going to pool our money, our campaign contributions, resources, and we're going to use it effectively to make ourselves heard, to enforce our will, to influence the direction of the country. And I'm saying that white people can't do that, or let's say white Christians, whatever you want to say, patriots, people that support American nationalism, we can't act because there is no we. The Jews can act because there is such a thing as that corporate community. They have position. They have this group mindset pushing in one direction. We don't have that. So
Nick,
I'm encouraging the young.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. We've been taught as white Christian Americans or Europeans, period, or anybody else who's pro-West or Christian, you can't have an organization. You can't have a group. India for the Indians, Pakistan for the Pakistan, China for the Chinese, Japan for the Japanese, Israel for the Jews, South Africa for the black South Africans. But then we're taught you can't have a coalition of Christian nationalist white people. If people agree with that, they're welcome to be part of it. But the point is, this is the leadership. We're not allowed to say we have an identity. We're told everywhere, Europe doesn't have an identity. Whites never invent anything. Whites don't have a culture. 13 ethnic groups that aren't white can have knives and swords in England. Whites can't have knives or swords. Now they're trying to ban, I mean, literally a two-tiered class system, because the globalists are in competition. And the Israel firsters are in competition with the West because it's so superior, no one's going to take their global government, cashless society, social credit score, internet ID system. If the West exists, they have to extinguish that. And to do that, they've made it about white people, the most, you know, central thing of what is left of the West, because nobody's going to just say, I don't want private property and the right to the Second Amendment. It's easier to say, oh, whites are evil, the founders are bad, the American flag's bad, take down George Washington's statue, take down Teddy Roosevelt's statue, and then to create this global coalition that's 93% not white to then attack whites. A bunch of whites will get scared, cuck, and bow, take a knee, shine shoes, lick shoes, you know, like Black Lives Matter, literally supplicating so they get passed over and not called Nazi. And what you're doing is saying that magic word doesn't work anymore. You're attacking us. We're done. And that's what enrages the Israel First lobby, is because they've operated like this and done this as an ethnic, religious, corporate combine, and they've gotten so arrogant, saying the NDAA, defense authorization, we're merging with the military, we're going to come after you, your little podcast, we're going to get you. And now that challenge, just like Sneeko's challenge, Islam will conquer you, we're saying that's it. We weren't looking for trouble. You've escalated to that point. You're looking for a fight. You got one. Go ahead.
Right. We have to organize. That's the operative word, organize and act as one. And the reason that the Jews and the Muslims are so powerful is because they are organized and they're able to act in a unified way. And so, for example, you look at the Muslims. Why are they such powerful allies? Because they literally have sovereign states as their sponsors. So when you have the Muslim lobbies or Muslim influence in the United States, they're funded by the Saudis, they're funded by the Emiratis, they're funded by the Qataris. It's literally at the state level.
White Christians don't have 53 countries backing them.
Exactly. And the same goes for the Jews. Why are the Jews so powerful? Because they have the state of Israel backing them.
And the U.S.
And so right. So that's why the Jews and the Muslims in America, they have chips to play with, because Israel and the Arab League countries, they furnish these communities inside America with chips to play in our political game. So, for example, the Qataris, they just open up a new embassy. It's very real. I know that's like a Zionist talking point. It also happens to be true that the Qataris are making a play for influence.
Emiratis, they spend $30 billion a year in the U.S. alone.
They do. And, you know, so I've talked at length my whole career about Israel. It happens on the other side, too. And the point is to demonstrate the principle, which is if you want power, we can't be individuals. That's the problem. Muslims are playing a team game where they're being backed by countries that sell oil. The Jews are playing a team game where they're being backed by a nuclear armed country. Whites are playing an individual's game. It's a big free for all. We're all on our own. If a black person stabs a white person, the black community rallies and raises $500,000 for that guy. If a white person gets stabbed, we say, well, it's not about race. It's a human being thing. Some human beings sometimes kill other human beings.
And we wonder why the attacks are 20-1, 40-1, because we don't have a lobby. We have had our identity taken away, and the system knows that. Let's go to break. You find Nick at Rumble, rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes, and on X, we'll put his lower third up right there, Nick J. Fuentes on X. Follow me at Real Alex Jones on X and the network feed at AJN Live. The initials AJN Live. Be sure and follow us there. And so much more, rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget, we've extended the buy one, get one free sale to 3 p.m. today. That's only 30 more minutes at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the shower head filters in now. They're the very best, massively discounted, and the silver coins are selling out fast. Thanks for your support. We'll be right back. Introducing AquaPure, the ultimate water filter shower head. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your shower head. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine, and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever. In my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalist. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99, that's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90%+ reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones. Out on the
streets. So here's the bottom line. Humans have always been tribal, always got in groups. And you have the left and the corporate media all over the Western world demonizing whites, saying we're evil, killing everybody, we deserve to die. And then minorities of minorities go out and kill and rape and murder whites, the Muslims, all the rest of it. And then the leftist judges let them go. And then whites just sit there and take it. But more and more, they're not. But I don't get down on the level of what the system wants. They want to create even more division doing that. I go directly to its divide and conquer, and I break it down. But the fact that Israel's been forced to come right out and say, yeah, we control Congress. Yeah, we spent $1.3 billion last year paying for influencers. And then we're being honest, exposing Qatar and China and the EU and you know, all of it, about all these interests. And we're saying people that want America, want freedom, want justice, we have to coalesce. And they've made it all about America being white so they can get rid of it. We say, okay, we'll play that game with you. Anybody that supports overall freedom, you can be on the bandwagon. But it is about America first. And it is about it's okay to be white. And we should, you know, stand up for ourselves and getting past the guilt, past the mind control, breaking the spell. And the spell is broken with Islam being cucked to it, with the, you know, radical expansionist Israel First, Greater Israel group. And they admit they're losing the info war at their World Jewish Conference, all of that. And a lot of, you know, Jewish leaders are saying, back off, stop it. Other Jews are self-hating, like whites do, bowing down to Black Lives Matter and saying 54% like Mondami of Jews in America in a major poll, only 27% or 26% Netanyahu. So monolithically in the billionaire class and with who's running Israel now, it's like 90%, you know, hardcore Likudnik psychos with Ben Gavir's basically their spirit animal. But there are also then Jews that are allied with their own destruction. And we need to say, we're not in any of this. I don't hate any of you. I don't want to destroy you, but I'm not going to be sacrificed as the sacrificial goat. And I'm going to play the part of the devil that we're all going to burn at the stake, that I'm the witch. That ain't happening. And I think it's really shocking the left, shocking the Soros left, the Red-Green Alliance, that the cucking is over. And a lot of them are saying, whoa, we went too far. A lot of the Muslims are saying, Sneeko, shut up. I saw a lot of that. And a lot of the you know, Israel firsters are getting, and even a lot of Christian Zionists, it's mainly just older boomers, get it now. And, you know, even with younger Protestants, they're breaking with this. And so that's why I say even midterm, long term, because of basic survival, this pressure and these attacks is waking the West up out of its stupor. Closing comments on that. And then I want to get into the current situation with Iran. Looking forward to the midterms and beyond with Nick J. Fuentes.
I totally agree with you. And I think that, you know, these guys like Sneeko are doing a lot of damage, because the reason they have been so successful in their invasion of the West and all the rest of it is because they have portrayed themselves as the victims. And so it's much easier to be sympathetic to the Muslims when they come across as these poor, oppressed people that were victims of colonialism and victims of US-led warfare and victims of the genocide. It's this victimization. And so I said this on my show the other week. On one side of their mouth, the Muslims will say, poor us, boo-hoo, look at these crying Muslims. That means we shouldn't have borders. Let Syrians into Europe. Let all these refugees into the United States. And then once they get here, then you get a totally different face. Then you get that clip you played earlier where Sneeko says, it's all going to be Muslims. Every city's going to look like this. Islam's going to dominate the world. And you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. What happened to you guys being victims and you can never lose a war and all the... And you realize this is something they're perpetrating against us, which is they are using liberalism. They're weaponizing our liberal attitudes, our blank slateism, our individualism, all these ideals, all of these preconceived notions that only we have in the West. They're weaponizing it against us. So, for example, Muslims will come here and say, well, what about free speech? Hey, you don't believe in free speech. You believe in Sharia law, but you're going to use our liberal attitudes about that to get you in the country and then promote your intolerant ideology. The same goes for the human rights, the rest of it. They come here and they say, what about the human rights of the Palestinians? Human rights? What about human rights in the rest of the Middle East? What about human rights for the kafir, for the infidels? I don't think that exists in your religion. And so it's time basically for us to wisen up and protect our civilization. I actually happen to like some of what liberalism offers. I like what rationalism offers. That's part of our civilization. But in order for us to preserve it, we actually have to actively protect it. And that means there needs to be this strong armed intervention. That's why I'm calling for us to organize as white people, as people of Western civilization. I'm in favor of some kind of tyranny. I really wish Trump were more of a tyrant, because we need to protect our civilization actually from itself, in a sense. These liberal ideas are being used against us to destroy the civilization that created them. So to kind of tie a bow on it, that is the basis under which we need to unite against the left, the third worldists, the Zionists, all these other civilizations trying to undermine us from within.
And that's what they always do, and that's been the way of the world, and the West tried to change that and have it be about ideals and velvet revolutions, and we have to understand they're cheating, they're overturning the chessboard, and we're going to say, okay, you want to fight at every level, economic, legal, spiritual, when you get violent, militarily, you want to fight, we're not looking for one, but you came to the right place, hence the beginning of Crusades 2.0, the Jerusalem cross as our standard. I just love that cross, and that's I love it. I just see that as I see all the crosses, and I love them so much. But that one I particularly just feel drawn to, and that is the crusade, my friends. That's taking back Jerusalem. That's what it's all about. Now, and to be for everybody, too, when we take it over. But I'm sorry. They're, oh, my God, Titus is coming again. It's Pompeo. The emperor has ordered it. All I'm telling you is that's where this is all going in the end, folks. Now, Nick, since you mentioned this, I want to finish up with Islam and then move on to Iran. It's all part of that in the midterms and Trump's trap that he's gotten into. But the Muslims in the last few months, every weekend, all over the world, from Australia to the U.S., from New Zealand to Canada, from Germany to France, the U.K., they're just, I've seen it in Austin, taking over, screaming Allah Akbar, city councils, county commissions, state houses, saying, we're taking over, we're ruling, we're going to dominate you, we're unstoppable. They're building giant mosques everywhere. They're saying, you're infidels. Here's some footage that just happened in Las Vegas where they took over the city council screaming Allah Akbar, which is what they do when they kill people. How do you respond, and why do you think they've gotten so aggressive and it's just escalating? Here's the clip.
This is amazing today. Allahu Akbar.
You establish yourself. Your behaviors end up. You refrain from either fault, but your family, your spouse, your children, they didn't do any of that. And you didn't warn them, you didn't try to fix them. You are also responsible.
They take over the highways, they take over the roads, they pray in your front yard. It's a dog hiding his leg and pissing on you. They go into public schools in Austin and hand out Korans and have little girls wear hijabs, same thing all over the world. I mean, and that's them being more friendly in their takeover, but what is this marking of the territory? How should we respond to it?
Well, they're emboldened, and what you find particularly in Europe, maybe less so in the United States, but more so in Europe, the Europeans are so demoralized, especially in a country like the United Kingdom. The native people of the UK are not religious. They're not Christian. They're all cynical atheists. And you look at the young people, they don't like their country. It's a lot of white guilt, but it's also just a lot of disillusionment. The political system is not efficacious. They're an empire in decline. It's just like a miserable, sad country. And so what happens is the confrontation between this totally nihilistic, despairing, suicidal country that offers nothing, no vision, no idea, with these young, militant, radical fanatics. And that is the difference. Muslims are having kids. Muslims skew younger. They have this big population boom in the past 20 years. They have this religion which they really believe in. It's not a cultural relic. It's not an anachronism. It's alive and they believe in it. It shapes their view of the cosmos and the world and the political order.
And they feel powerful. They say we're going to rule and they're coming.
Yeah, and they're together. You know, and all these things, what they have in common is they're together. They go and pray together. It's a fraternal communal function, and they're pounding their chest and they're yelling out loud. Like you said, they feel powerful. This is something uniting their army. And what happens when those people flood into a civilization where the people have given up? The people don't believe in anything. They don't believe in themselves. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in their nations. They don't have families. You know, they're just getting high all the time. They're getting high or they're doing some kind of hedonistic stuff, but they don't even have jobs. They're all on welfare. What happens is, well, the younger, more fanatical, more organized people are just going to exert themselves. They're going to expand. They're going to exert themselves. And you know what? I don't even necessarily think on some level that's the worst thing, only because you can actually see a scenario where, and I think you said this too, it catalyzes an equal and opposite reaction. Maybe that's the threat that shakes everybody awake. And I'm not an accelerationist. I'm not saying we should bring in more.
No, but they're accelerating, so that's the way it is. And we got to take action. In closing, because we're almost out of time, some of the most important stuff we're getting to at the end, but we always cover this first. So huge developments. Iran said, we've never made a deal. Trump keeps saying it 130 days in. And then so they blow up three ships. They hit Bahrain. They hit Kuwait U.S. bases, devastating them. We know they covered up in the last 130 days just how bad the devastation is. That's confirmed by Congress. Iran holds the cards. They're not going to fall anytime soon, if ever. The straits closed, killing Trump's recovery. And Trump said today, I played it the first hour, he's like, I don't care what happens to the war. We're just going to obliterate them, and they're losers, and their ships are on the bottom. But they hold the cards with economic warfare, the Strait of Hormuz, devastating the recovery and inflation. And then Israel's response is, everybody's anti-Israel now. We'll just merge with your military and own your weapons. And that's in the NDAA. That's passed out of committee, Section 224. So the Telegraph gets it right. Iran's regime is now stronger than before Trump's war. So Levin and all those people and walked Trump into this disaster. They knew it. Now they want a ground invasion. We haven't sunk yet. We're the Titanic in the iceberg field. We got to turn around and get out of the iceberg field. Can you speak to where you see this war going that you predicted 3 years ago that would kill us in the midterms? If there's any way to extricate, and then we're almost out of time, just to kind of compress it, what happens in the midterms, and then what's coming in 2028? The left bringing back their censorship, Republicans doing their own forms of it. I mean, we got some serious problems. Nick Fuentes.
I think as far as the Iran conflict is concerned, we're going back to war. I think that much is obvious. And that's because this entire diplomatic process has been a sham.
They just bombed Tehran an hour ago. Sorry.
They bombed Tehran. Iran said they're going to retaliate 2-1. Every one target that we hit, they're going to hit two of ours. And look, I think that fundamentally every side, Israel, Iran, and the United States, they all recognize there's going to be no peace deal. So what was this all really about? A reprieve. I think that Iran wanted a reprieve from being bombed so they could rebuild their drone and missile production capability. And I think the U.S. allowed Iran to sell their oil with the sanctions waiver and even allow some of the shipping through the strait with Iran's permission to give us a reprieve economically, introduce a little bit more oil supply to offset the fact that the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is going to run out in something like 6 to 7 weeks or something like this. So I think that there's really no confidence on anybody's part in Tehran and Tel Aviv and Washington that this ceasefire would hold, that it would give way to a real peace agreement. This was buying time for every side to lock and load and get ready for the next round of fighting, which is all but inevitable. It's just a question of when. As far as the midterms are concerned, Republicans are going to get utterly destroyed. I think we certainly lose the House. There's a chance we lose the Senate, although with Graham Plattner now potentially bowing out, and you know, he might not. He might stay in the race. But I think it makes it a little more tricky for the Democrats to get in. Once the Democrats take control of the House, 2027 and 2028 are going to be brutal, because you look at even what happened in this spring. You got to pay attention to the government shutdown this spring. When Trump sent those CBP and ICE into Minneapolis and that big surge, how did the Democrats respond? Now, even though right now Republicans control the House, Republicans control the Senate, Republicans need a 3/5 majority in the Senate to pass any meaningful legislation. So they still need 7 Democrats to go with them on any major legislation. Democrats are using their minority position in the Senate to do a partial shutdown of DHS for something like 2 months. Remember when TSA was shut down, all the airports had these unbelievable wait times? That's because the Democrats said, we're not going to pass appropriations for DHS unless they do body cams on ICE agents, unless they stop the raids inside of people's homes, they stop the patrols going down the streets of the major cities. And so, in other words, Democrats were able to exert pressure on executive policy, even only being in the minority in both chambers. Point being is, what happens when Democrats control the House? Which, by the way, and they'll control it outright, the House has the purse strings, oversight powers, power to impeach. They're going to shut it all down. And so if people think Trump's got 2 more years to get his act together, he doesn't. It's over. Because the second that the Democrats get seated in January, forget the Senate, even when they take the House, they're going to impeach these government officials, they're going to subpoena and depose, and maybe most importantly, they're going to use their power of the purse strings to actually exert influence on all government policy. And they're going to do to everything what they did to DHS this spring, which is they're going to tell the Trump administration, if you don't stop the mass deportations, if you don't stop the border wall, if you don't stop this, that, and the other, then we're not going to fund your omnibus bill. We're not going to fund your Defense Authorization Act. We're going to shut down the government. And they're going to be able to do that because simultaneously, they're going to be doing subpoenas, depositions. They're going to be bringing all this corruption to the forefront. You know, this
and
stuff,
we can
for
thank
example.
The Epstein cover up and the Iran war for Trump putting us in this position. And then 2028, it's all up in the air.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, because there's a storm brewing on both sides. On the Republican side, it's the Levins versus the Carlsons. It's Rubio versus Vance. You know, there's obviously some serious gamesmanship going on between Rubio and Vance, and the Iran negotiations are a proxy for that. Rubio is steering clear. Vance is throwing himself in the middle of it because he thinks if he solves it, he's going to not be blamed for the Iran war. So that's a big battle. But on the Democrat side, there are some signs of trouble over there as well.
Well, the Democrats, socialists winning. Yeah, absolutely. Nick, we're out of time. You'll be on tonight doing your stream. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. I wish we had more time. Thank you for so much time. Look forward to speaking to you again more about 2028 because it's important to look forward into the future. Thank you, Nick Fuentes.
Thanks for having me. Great interview.
Powerful. But best interview yet we've done. All right. Harrison's coming up. He's going to simulcast my debate with Sneeko in the first hour. So go to Real Alex Jones on X. Go to rumble.com/Alex Jones Show. rumble.com/The War Room Live. Go to the easiest place is alexjoneslive.com. And you'll just see the network feed, Harrison, The War Room, coming up here in about 7 minutes. Let me just tell everybody this, too. You got 10 minutes to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get buy one, get one free on the methylene blue and other stuff. That ends at 3. It has to end. We have the new shower filters that cut out everything. They're incredible. They're the very best, highest rated filtration systems with the lowest prices. For VIPs, they're $69. For everybody else, they're $100. Similar systems that aren't even as good sell for like $130. This is an incredible deal. We also have the silver coins that are going to sell out in a week or so that are a fundraiser coin with the Jerusalem cross, 1776. America says to continue, the American eagle on the other side with the American flag. These are gorgeous. The AlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank all of you that have gotten the coin. There's only 5,000 of these. Roughly half have sold. Thank you all for your support. We want to get more crew, more reporters, more hosts. It takes money to do that. This is a great memento that you supported the broadcast. It's a fundraiser coin. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody should be a VIP because the silver coin's $117.17. Well, it's $99 or $97 for VIPs. The filters are $67 instead of a $99. I mean, everybody should be a VIP. $30 a month, you get $40 to spend the store instantly. Special deals, special sales, special offers. Everything has sales on top of sales when you're a VIP, thealexjonesstore.com. But now, I want to talk about something truly revolutionary that's so key now and into the future you must take action on. Here it is, and then Harrison Smith simulcasting my debate with Sneeko. Stay with us. I am about to reveal something that is one of the most revolutionary ideas I have ever talked about on air. And in the future, it's going to be the most revolutionary idea. The entire future battle that humanity faces against the globalist mark of the beast social credit score system will be fought on this battlefield. I'm talking about debanking. I'm talking about deplatforming. I'm talking about the globalist war, not just on the nation state and the family and the individual, but on small, medium, and even large businesses they don't control. That's the real undeclared war that is intensifying across the planet right now, and America is the front lines. This information is revolutionary, and this is the keys to success and being independent from this predatory system. I'm about to break it down right now. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, You've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Are you still after him? Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA?
Sure was.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what? Just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. That's FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. Or go to firstamericanpayments.com. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. They're the only ones that have withstood all the attacks. We always tried to have backups. We would have a couple backups. We lost dozens and dozens of them and dozens of banks, but not First United Payments. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's Win, Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square. They're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.